What is the Shepherd's series? And we started with the shepherd finds the sheep. Not only does the shepherd finds the shepherd leads the sheep. Not only does the shepherd leads the shepherd feeds the sheep. Today we'll be talking about the shepherd protecting the sheep. And the best way for the shepherd is to protect the sheep, is to make sure the sheep grow up to maturity. Amen? So they can be self-sufficient on their own. And that's what we'll be talking about today. And if you turn with me you have your Bibles to John 10, verse 11 to 13. And it says, let me get my notes here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Yes. See, the good shepherd ain't about himself.
That's right.
Amen? He sacrificed for the sheep. Yes. He puts the sheep's need ahead of his. Mm-hmm. Amen? He gives his life for the sheep.
Yes.
The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a harlot and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and flee, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. See, a harlot, he just wants to take advantage of the sheep. He wants what he can get out of the sheep. The shepherds you have here ain't trying to deceive you, ain't trying to trick you, ain't trying to abuse you, but they willing to sacrifice that you may grow thereby.
Wow. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But a harlot is out to get you, is out to take advantage of you. They ask for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Next verse. The harlot flees because he is a harlot and cares not for the sheep. See, when danger comes, the harlot, he's concerned about himself.
Right.
But a good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He fights for the sheep. He puts himself in harm's way for the sheep.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
That's what a good shepherd does. He's more concerned about your welfare than he is his own.
Amen.
He goes without sleep to study to make sure you're fed right.
That's right.
The good shepherd. Look what he says in 2 Timothy, an example of a good shepherd. Paul is telling Timothy how to be a good shepherd. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, he tells them to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doubt. He says, listen, preach the word when it's popular and when it's not. When it's easy and when it's hard. When it's a feel-good message and when it's one of those messages that said, I need to get it right.
Yeah.
Amen? So whether it's in season or out of season, we preach the word of God and the word, and it falls where it may. Because it's not my word, it's God's word. Okay, and some days it's going to reprove, it's going to rebuke, and it's going to exalt you. So some days you're going to look at the word and say, oh my God, I'm messed up.
Yeah.
As matter of fact, most days I look at the word and say, I'm messed up. and it's with long suffering and teaching. And every day, and that's why we got new curriculums today, life groups and new members class, and the things we're doing and the discipleship we're trying to do in good soil is that you would have good doctrine, that you would be fed well, that you would be self-sufficient Christians to live in this life pleasing to God.
Amen.
Amen. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, most people want to go to church and feel good about themselves. Want to feel good about how they live their lives. They want me to sit up here and tell you that it's all right to do A, B, and C. But the word of God is truth. And I got to preach the word of God. And when the word of God says you living foul, you living foul.
Yes.
And when the word of God said I'm living foul, I'm living foul. And the word of God don't need to be corrected. I need to be corrected.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? Yes. But some people want to hear what sounds good and make them feel good. Next verse. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and turn to fables. Amen? This is what a good shepherd wants to avoid from the sheep. They want to stop them from turning away from the truth and listen to fables. Listen to things that sound good, things that feed their flesh. The good shepherd. He laid down his life that you might grow up. Because the goal in all of this is that you, the goal in God saving you is that you might be conformed to his son.
Amen.
That you may mature.
Yes.
That you may be a workman need not be ashamed.
Right.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Now we go to our text in 1 Thessalonians 2:1-16. And in these chapters, we're going to see four things. We're going to see the good shepherd endures hardship.
Mm-hmm.
The good shepherd is entrusted by God with the sheep.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
The good shepherd enjoys and nurtures the sheep.
Yeah.
In other words, he loves the sheep. And the good shepherd escorts the sheep to maturity. And the good shepherd is an example to the sheep to follow him. Amen? So in verses 1-3, we see the good shepherd endure hardship. For ye yourself, brother, know that our labor, no, you yourself, brothers, know that our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. Oh, listen, the shepherds here, our preaching is not in vain. Listen, I can see some of you growing in the Lord. I can see some of you having a zeal to learn more and more about God. I can see some of you being honest with one another about what's going on in your life. Our preaching is not in vain. Verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before, that we shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Listen, he says, they were at Philippi and they got beat to death just about. But that didn't stop them from coming and proclaiming God's word for you. They took beatings on your behalf that you might feel, might know the gospel of Christ and come to salvation. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So they were at Philippi, now 16 to 19. And it came to pass, as we were there praying, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her master much gain with soothsaying. So this is what happened at Philippi. Yeah. There in Philippi, proclaiming the gospel, and this was this possessed woman, that her master would get money because she was able to soothsay. She was a fortune teller. And she kept going around town following Paul and Silas and saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Telling the truth, sharing the gospel of who they were. But it annoyed Paul because they knew they were demonic led. And Paul told the demonic to come out of her, and she lost the ability to tell fortunes and to soothsay and to tell people their future. And when they saw that they couldn't get no money from her no more, they went to the gates and ran Paul and Silas out of town after they beat them to death. That's why when you look at Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I was beat with rods 5 times. Mm-hmm. So Paul, listen, he laid down his life for the sheep. Yes. 5 times. He would go to one city, be beat half to death, and go to the next city. Mm-hmm. Be beat half to death and go to the next city. Right. For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. So a good shepherd endured hardship. Amen. And after he left Philippi, he came to Thessalonica in chapter 17. Oh, let me finish reading that. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Okay, so they took him to the rulers and they beat him half to death. And then they went to Philippi in chapter 17 of Acts. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and there, in 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. And some of them believe, and consorted with Paul and Silas and others, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So it was many. But the Jews, which believed not, moved within me, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the brazen sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring out the people. Amen. So they caught Paul again, even in Thessalonica. They took beatings on behalf of the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd endure hardship for the sheep. Amen. Not only they endure hardship for the sheep, they are entrusted by God with the sheep. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 to 6. But we were allowed by God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as man pleasers, but God, which tries our heart. Look, a good shepherd, their goal is to please God, not man. Listen, we ain't here to make you feel good. We ain't here to make friends with you. We're here to be pleasing to God. Amen? We're here to proclaim the gospel of God with boldness and truth. And that all. So we don't come pleasing man. We come to please God. And listen, we encourage you and we beseech you, we urge you that you live your life not to please men, but to please God. Because man is always changing the standard. They always changing the bar. God's bar is always high. And he ain't lowering it for nobody. So we aim to please God. In verse 5, God is our witness of our motives. Look what he says. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. God know our motives. We're not up here with $5 words trying to impress you. I'm up here trembling. Because it's the word of God and I want to get it right.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So it ain't time to impress you. It's time to give you what God said. What thus saith the Lord. And nothing else. It's not my opinion. But it's what God says. Look at 1 Peter 5, 2, 4. This is what God tells the shepherd. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take an oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a readiness of mind. Listen, we ain't up here to get money. Listen, it's good. It's proper for you to pay your pastors, but that's not their motive for doing what they do. Their motive is to please God. And God is their witness in doing that. Next verse. Neither as being lord over the of God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. Listen, we're not telling you to do things that we're not willing to do. It's some changes need to happen in our lives too. In my life, there's some changes I need to still make. Listen, when I'm asking you to change, it hits me too.
Yes.
Because I ain't got it all right. And I don't think Pastor Dave got it all right.
I agree.
So we're trying to be an example. That, but what I do know, if I can change, you can change.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So we're an example. As you see us change, as you see us being obedient to the word of God, then you're able to. Amen? Next verse. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, when Christ shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fade not away. When Christ do appear, all I want to hear him is say, well done. I want to hear him say, you've been faithful over a few things. because the Lord knows I wasn't faithful over everything. But I want him to say that you were faithful over a few things, that you at least preached the word with boldness, as it is the word of God and not your own opinion. Amen? I want to at least have that right. And that you try to live what you preach. Day in and day out. Falling down and getting up. Because this Christian life ain't easy. Amen? Verse 6 back in Thessalonians. And when we do that, listen, some days when we're done and you all come back there and say, and sometimes you talk to us on the side and say, oh, Pastor, you just don't know how you bless me. You just don't know. I got so much out of that. And all I can say, well, praise God. Yes. Praise God, because it's nothing in me. It's God using me to help you get to wherever you need, he wants you to be. So we give God all the glory. It's nothing in us. We just as messed up as the next guy. Amen. We take no credit other than being faithful enough to study his word. But God gives the increase. God gets the glory. We're here to give him glory. So whatever accomplishments I've made in my life and whatever accomplishments you've made and have done, give God the glory. Amen. It was him that equipped you to do what you do. Give him the glory. And verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So he says, although we were apostles, we didn't look for no glory. And when you came and gave us credit, we gave it to God. And let you know it ain't us. It's God who does it. So the good shepherd understands that he's entrusted by God with the life of the sheep. A good shepherd enjoys and nurtures the sheep. Or loves the sheep. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherish her children. He says, we were gentle. We didn't come up here proclaiming that you do A, B, and C. We said, yeah, this is the way you ought to live, but we didn't come. We were gentle. If I got to confront you about a sin in your life, I want to be gentle about it. I ain't coming to you sticking my finger in your face, talking about you need to get it right, because I know what it is to fall short of the glory of God. I know what it is to struggle with sin. So I want to be gentle with you. Let you know that I care for you. But we need to get something straight. He said he came as a nursing mother with her child on her breast. As a nursing mother. You know how a nursing mother cares for a child? Not like a mother with a teenager. Amen? A mother with a teenager is something different. See, some of them teenagers, you got to hem them up sometime. In Jesus' name. But a nursing mother with a child, an infant. That's how we try to come to you. That you may grow. All right? Now look at verse 7. That's verse 7, verse 8. And so being effectually desiring of you, We were willing to have part in part unto you the gospel of God, not only the gospel of God, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Listen, not only did we proclaim the gospel, we gave our own souls. We let you into our lives and tell you about our struggles. That so you would know that you ain't in this thing alone.
Right.
We give of our own soul.
Right.
Listen, you struggle, so do I. And here's some of my struggles. Some of them I'm ashamed of. But through God, I've overcome. Because I've been faithful. I've been consistent. I've matured. And the good shepherd wants you to mature in Christ. So I don't mind sharing with you my struggles. Because we all got them. If one thing we have in common is struggles and hardship. But Jesus said, in this life you will, not you might. He said you will have tribulation. But you can be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. So my struggles, all we can do is give it to him. And allow him to take them. That's why he said, come to me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened. And take my yoke upon you. For my burden is light. He said, I can handle your struggle. I can handle your issues. You ain't got to carry it by yourself. And I can tell you the things I had to give over to him. The control issues I want to have over my spouse and my children, I can give over to God because I can't change them. He can. Lord, I try. And all I found out is frustrated and my feelings hurt after they told me where to go. Next verse. For ye remember, brother, our labor and travail, for labor night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, of any of you, we preached unto you the gospel. He says, listen, you remember how we behaved in front of you? Listen, he said he labored night and day. Paul, when he was at Thessalonica, he got a job. You know what I mean? So he wouldn't be a burden to the church. We don't ask. Listen, and I know this to be a fact. When Pastor Dave's kids were in high school and college, Pastor Dave got a second job. He didn't, because things got tight for him, he didn't ask more from the church. He didn't want to be a burden to you. Now, it is proper for you, again, to pay your pastors. But you don't see them up here every week asking for more and more just because their budget got a little bigger. Amen? They make do with what? And they, not only do they make do, they rely on the chief shepherd. Who's able to provide everything you need. So listen, they ain't got to con nobody. They ain't got to deceive nobody. And neither do you. But you can rely on the chief shepherd who is faithful. Amen? To supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now in your greeds, that's on you. Your greed's on you. And if you're like any, like me, like most of us, matter of fact, all of us, some days we get greedy.
Yes, we do.
We ain't never satisfied.
Yes.
Amen? And it's the note, we got a closet full of clothes, and we can't fit half of them. And they're still there. They're still there. Talking about, well, I'm going to go to the gym and lose a couple of pounds and get back into them. Yeah, Johnny, I know you got a couple, you know, polos that don't fit. There you go. One way or the other, right? One way or the other. But listen, we rely on the good shepherd. Amen? And we don't take it. We, because of our needs, we don't manipulate the congregation. We don't take advantage of the sheep. Amen? Because the sheep struggle just like we. And we rely on the chief shepherd. So not only do we help them mature. So we help them mature, but we escort them, we nurture them, but we escort them into maturity, verses 10 to 12. Ye are our witness, and God also, how holy and just and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. Listen, you see how we behave among you? We ain't here trying to deceive nobody. We trying to live a holy life. Not a perfect life, but a holy life, a faithful life. Amen? A just life. We don't want to be, we want to be unblameable. Not that we're perfect, but we're maturing. Amen? So you see how we live. And you know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you as a father does his children. Listen, we charge all of you to step up like a father charges their children to grow up and to behave in a manner worthy of God. Amen? A father cares for his children and directs them and leads them that they may be self-sufficient. That's a father's job. I think it's John 3:7 that says, there's no greater joy for a father but to see his children walk in truth. That's the shepherd's job. It's to see this congregation walking in truth. That's our job. That's our desire for you. It's that you walk in truth. And we, as a father, constantly are asking you and begging you and pleading with you to step up. As a father, encourage their children, step up to the plate. You can do better. I can do better. We all can do better than what we're doing. Amen? There's more work to be done than what we're doing. For all of us. Listen, God ain't saved us to just come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. And sit in the pew. There's work to be done. And it ain't just in the church. It's out there. There's a world going to hell in a handbasket. And we got the truth of God. Yes. And God has called us to proclaim that gospel to that dying world. Yes. To our neighbors, to our children, to our relatives, to our siblings, to our co-workers, to our fellow students. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. Look what he says in verse 13, they received the word of God as divine and authoritative. Look what he says. For this cause also we also thank we God without season, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God,
yes,
which effectively worketh also in you that believe. See, he says, you received it not as our word, but divine words of God,
yes,
with power and authority. Amen? That's how you receive the word. That it, not only is it able, but is able to do what you need it to do.
Right.
It's able to do what God has sent it forth to do.
Yes.
It's to change our hearts and our minds and our behavior. Amen? So you receive it as divine in origin. It's not me up here speaking this. It's God's word coming forth through me. And it's authoritative. It demands your response in a positive manner. Let me give you a couple examples about the word of God. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Why this word is divine? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is any of any private interpretation. It's not what I think. Amen? It's not my thoughts. Next verse. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this word was written by 40 different authors. Human authors, but one divine author. So as God, as they were writing, God gave them thought in their mind, and they wrote what God wanted them to write, using their own personality and their own style. I hear Pastor Dave say it all the time, that God doesn't speak to me verbally, that I don't hear a verbal voice, but I know, he says, I know thoughts come in my mind that I would never think of. So the word of God is divine in origin. Not only is it divine in origin, it's authoritative. Look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. For all scripture is given by inspiration, which means God breathed. Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Back to 16, Mark, I'm sorry. So all scripture is God-breathed. And it's good for teaching. And this teaching is going to reprove you. It's going to, not only, it's going to convict you that there's sin in your life that needs to get straight. It's authoritative. Not only does it reprove you, it corrects you. And that's harsh some days. But it doesn't leave you there feeling bad about yourself, because it gives four instructions in righteousness. It's one thing to see how bad I look in the mirror. But it's another thing to have an opportunity to get some soap and water and wipe the sleep out of my eyes. Amen? So it gives you instructions on how you can get it right. It's authoritative. Amen? That I might live in righteousness. That I might be mature. That I might be perfect in the sight of God.
Wow.
Unto good works. That I might be an empty vessel for the master's use. That's what he wants. He wants an empty vessel, empty of all my selfish ambition, all of my lustful thoughts and lustful behaviors, and be empty to allow him to live through me.
Amen.
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 Now not only is the word authoritative in verses 14 to 16, they were willing to suffer for the gospel in the face of persecution. So not only was the shepherd willing to suffer for the sheep, now the sheep, because they're mature, they're willing to suffer. And that's our goal, that you would be willing to sacrifice for one another. Amen? That you would not look on your own things, but look more highly of the things of your neighbor. Amen? That's why he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the flesh and became a servant even unto death. Man, so that's what we want for you, that you be willing to suffer. Look what he says. For ye, brother, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, and in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, as they have of the Jews. So look, in Thessalonica, they received persecution. They received suffering, just like their brothers, the Jews. Amen? So we receive suffering. Keep going, Mark. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for their wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So they were willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. That's our goal, that you be willing to give. That's what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must first deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. This is what the Thessalonians did. They took up their cross. They denied themselves. Listen, they denied their suffering and their lustful behaviors for the sake of Christ, that they may be able to proclaim the gospel with boldness and not be a hypocrite doing it. Because persecution and affliction is only temporary. Amen? The persecution and the suffering we face on this side of heaven is only temporary. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our light afflictions, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Next verse. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Listen, all I see is the suffering I got to deal with right now. It's the hurt and the discomfort I feel right now. But that's just for a moment. It's temporary. For the glory that God's going to reveal in me later. Yes. Amen? Yes. It's temporary. I don't look on that. I look ahead. I live my life looking to where God is taking me. Yes. And that's maturity in Christ Jesus. Yes. Yes. Amen? Amen? Look what he says in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It ain't worthy. This is a light. It's just but a moment. That's why James says life is but what? A vapor? It appears for a moment and it's gone. But I live for eternity. So I don't live by the dictates of my lustful desires and my five senses, what I see and what I taste and what I feel. Because that drives me away from God. I live to please Him. And we live to please Him. Because He's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's Jehovah Roha. He's Jehovah Roha. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of His enemy. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I live for, to be in His presence forever.
Yes.
That's my goal. That's our desire for you.
Yes.
That's what the good shepherd does. He lays His life down for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He takes the hit. He first gives up of His desires, His ambition, that your life might be better. That He might impart the good, the gospel, the Evangelion unto you. And that you may be able to share it with others.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
We have a good shepherd.
Yes, we do.
And He's calling us to be like Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
he is. And stand with me as we say.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.